before we begin the work week, we have the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, and we have been blessed tonight to come together to study, and we appreciate so much each of you being here. Good to have Sister Vivian visiting with us tonight. In the book of Acts, in the 7th chapter, begin reading with me, if you will, at verse 54, and we'll read through verse 60. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, when you make a study of the Scripture, you run across the word stones quite a few times. I'm sure that on this occasion, when you think of the word stone, one thing that may come to your mind is the lady in the book of John in the 8th chapter, the woman who was caught in the very sin of adultery. And you remember that they brought stones and they brought the woman and they looked at Jesus and said, "The law of Moses commands us to stone her." This we find in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13. However, at this time, you'll recall that they did not really have the same authority because they were under Roman occupation. If you take your Bible, look in the book of John in the 18th chapter, and you remember in verse 31, when they wanted to have Jesus nailed to the cross, that Pilate had said to them, "Why don't you take him and judge him according to your law?" But the Jews had said to him, "It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death." They recognized that if they're going to go through legal channels, they needed to go through the Romans. However, if you take your Bible, you'll find on different occasions, they tried to stone Jesus. Later in the book of John in the 8th chapter, after Jesus had identified them as not just being of Abraham, but telling them that they were really of the devil, they picked up stones to stone him. Then in the book of John in the 10th chapter, once again, you find the Jews picking up stones out of their angry heart to hurl and to cast at Jesus. And you remember even the devil used stones. In the book of Matthew in the 4th chapter, when he was tempting the Lord, you remember he said, "Why don't you turn these stones to bread?" However, at this time, I want us to look at the stones that crushed Stephen. And I want us to think about the death of this man, and I want us to think about how it can impress our life. The first thing I want us to recognize is the sermon that man made on that occasion. The sermon that he gave when he is standing before the individuals at that particular time. And notice in the book of Acts and the 7th chapter how he began that sermon by talking about the glory of God. In verse 2 he said, "The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham." I want you to recognize that that is a wonderful way to begin a sermon. Here were people who claimed to be followers of God, and as he begins his sermon, he begins with something that they all agree upon, that God is a God of glory. But then secondly, he makes an appeal and talks about Abraham. And you know, my friend, these people were proud that they were of the lineage of Abraham. But then, as Stephen continues his sermon, I want you to think about that Stephen comes on down from the time of Abraham, going through the time of Moses and the prophets, to the coming of Christ. And then that man makes three serious charges in his sermon. First, if you take your Bible in the book of Acts and the 7th chapter, you'll find that Stephen insists that at this time the Jews were a group of people that had rebelled against the glory of God throughout the ages. From the making of the golden calf right on down to the denying of Christ. Then secondly, as we talked about this morning, he makes another serious charge. He said they were ungrateful. He charged them with being ungrateful, for they had the most amazing privileges. They had the prophets, the tablets of stones, the tabernacle, and yet they were ungrateful for the blessings they received as the people of God. But then a third serious charge he made was that they persecuted the men of God. In your Bible, look in the book of Acts in the 7th chapter and look at what he says in verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold of the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. He said, you are guilty of killing the Christ. And notice, that is when their heart is cut. That is when they take Stephen after he has spoke about seeing Jesus at the right hand of God, and they cast him out of the city. I want you to think about the charges that man had made. But then I want you to think about something else. In verse 54, we read where they ran upon him, and we read where they stoned him. What a horrifying development. To think that at this time that they're going to stone the man. In verse 58, the Bible says they stoned him. But there's several lessons for us here. First, I want you to see their unbelief. Every stone they cast upon him was a symbol of the hardness of their heart and the fact they did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. It represents the type of soil that the word fell upon, as we read in Luke chapter 8. We have the four different types of soil. There's the good soil, and there's a different kind. But here is soil that's hardened. Their heart is hard to the word of God. And there was no spiritual life left in these people. Their works were unfruitful. But I want you to stop and think about from another perspective. Have you ever thought that every stone they cast was a monument to the power of faith Stephen had? You know, when we go out to the cemetery, we have a headstone at many places. I'll tell you, every rock they threw became a monument or a headstone to what Stephen was presenting. First of all, it was a monument to the Christ he preached. Every stone they cast upon this man was a living monument of the Christ in whom he believed. He knew the world had denied Christ. And he expected nothing in contrast to this way of life. That was a monument to his faith in Jesus Christ and a monument to the Christ he believed in. But secondly, it was a monument to the Word of God. It was a headstone, if you would, as they threw down and cast down those stones and rained down the stones upon the body of Stephen. Someone picked one up and it would have been a monument to the power of the Word of God, that the Word of God produced faith in Stephen. You know, the Bible said he was a man full of faith. It takes a lot of faith to stand up to a group of people who don't want to hear the gospel. It's one thing to stand in a pulpit where everybody wants to hear you. It's another thing to stand up when everyone's opposed to you. And here he stands, and I want you to think, my friend, he had great faith to preach that message. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That man had great faith to proclaim that truth. And though they didn't believe at that time, you'll find later Saul becomes a Christian. Have you ever wondered when Saul came back through Jerusalem after his travels, had he ever come back near where they cast him out of the city? Have you ever wondered how Saul's heart must have felt to think, I was there when they killed Stephen?
Now, as we talked about last Lord's Day morning, he had to put that behind him. He wasn't going to allow that to hinder him. But he, as Brother Danny brought out, probably never would forget what he'd done. But that brings up something else. It's a monument to his seal. Every stone that hit Stephen was a living monument to the fact that he was zealous for the Lord, and thus they could not forget. Have you ever thought of the zeal of a man to stand up in the midst of hostile territory and say, Jesus is the Christ, you've denied Him, you've killed Him, you've turned on Him. Now today we don't hear that kind of preaching like we one time did. Sometimes I'm fearful we're getting away from preaching the old Jerusalem gospel. Sometimes I'm fearful we're drifting in our preaching and that we don't go back and just preach it like we should. Notice Stephen stood up and with a zealous heart and with love in his heart pointed out their sin. And notice, my friend, they didn't come at him with love. They came at him with hatred because their sin had been brought to light. You know, some people, when their sin is brought to light, their heart is cut, like in Acts 2. And they repent. And they're baptized. They put their faith in Christ. Some people, like in Acts chapter 7, their heart is cut. But what happens when their heart is cut? They strike out at the one who showed their sin. But that was a monument. That was a headstone to his zeal. And that stone that crushed Stephen, that stone that hit that poor bloodied body, showed that that man was zealous for God. But I'll tell you what else it was. It was a monument of his hope. Every stone they threw at that body was a monument to the fact that he was living for something higher than this life. He looked to heaven. And you know, my friend, it's amazing. His master was there. And have you ever thought that Stephen, you can contrast his death with that of Jesus? And there's a couple of things that are very similar. What does he say? Lay this sin not to their charge. And what else does he say? He cried out with a loud spirit, receive my spirit. He cried out with a loud voice. I think about the hope that man had. As they threw the stones, they thought they were eliminating a problem, but Stephen was looking up at the Lord saying, I'm about to go home. Every stone was a monument to the faith of that man. But let's stop for just a moment and pause and take note of some stones that are still cast at the people of God. You have, as they had in John 8, the stone of hypocrisy. You remember they brought the woman and said, she should be stoned. And what did Jesus say? You who are without sin, you cast the first stone. I'll tell you something, my friend. Some of us need to remember that we are all sinners saved by the grace of God. And we're saints by the grace of God. We have obeyed God, but we have come to God on His terms. But I'll tell you something. God's mercy and God's love is what removes the sin. When I'm baptized into Christ, I've obeyed God. But I'll tell you, it's God who takes away the sin. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can get a mightier and holier than thou attitude and we look down on people, and that is a stone of hypocrisy. Secondly, you could throw the stone of prejudice. I'll tell you, people have become prejudiced against the Lord's church. When you stand up and you make a statement like the Bible has said in 1 Timothy 2 that women should not be preachers in our day and time, people say, oh, that's chauvinistic. Oh, that's outdated. And I want to tell you what's happened with people today. Men no longer want to be men. Women no longer want to be women. And we forget God has given us roles to live by. And we're losing our distinctiveness. I'll tell you, it's a sad day when we don't live by the role God has assigned us. God created us. God has the right to assign us a role. And let me tell you something, my friend. You are under obligation to take the role God has given you. But people are prejudiced against that. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to hear about baptism. People don't want to hear about morals. And I'll tell you, in a lot of pulpits, they're not hearing about it like they one time did. But I'll tell you something else. Some have been cast the stone of false doctrine. And I'll tell you, my friend, there have been many that have just listened to false doctrine and they have eaten it up and they've left the faith. I stand amazed at how many people I knew when I first started out preaching that were members of the body of Christ who've left the faith and have gone to other places. I'm amazed at how many people I knew that one time preached the gospel who now embrace doctrine that is wrong. Now, I'll tell you, I understand, I make mistakes, I say things that are wrong, I've had to go back in and make changes on things I've said. But it's one thing to make mistakes and to correct them. It's another thing when you go out and purposely begin to teach that which you know is wrong. But finally, as we make application, we need to think of three things. Do we have the faith we need to stand up in an ungodly world? You know, we're losing religious freedom in this country, and if ever there's a time we take a stand, we better take it while we still have it. Because there's coming a day we won't have it. And then we'll look around and say, why did it happen? It's because we didn't take a stand. Let them call you a bigot. Let them call you a name. Let them say that you're not progressive enough. Let them talk about you. I'll tell you, my friend, look at what they did to Stephen. And that man stood by the Word of God and said, this is what God has said. And the day I quit preaching the gospel is the day I need to resign. Because what the people need today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts 8, it didn't matter if Philip was preaching to 10,000 in Samaria or one on the road to Gaza with the Ethiopian eunuch. He preached Christ. And do I have that kind of faith? I appreciate the people who take a stand. Because there'll come a day, my friend, when we take our stand, they're going to be doing us like they did Stephen. And do you have the kind of faith to say, Lord, I still will stand. If that means I stand alone with you, I stand alone. Secondly, do we have courage? Now, you know, sometimes courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is doing the right thing even when you are afraid. Sometimes we think that courage is the absence of fear. I'll tell you, no. You can be afraid and the courage is overcoming your fear and saying, I'm going to do what's right, even if it means that everyone else turns against me. That's what courage is, doing the right thing at the right time because it's the right thing to do. But what about our zeal? What about our zeal? You know what made Paul so zealous? He saw his past sin. And you remember what he says in 1 Corinthians 15:10? When Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he is talking about the resurrection, but then he pauses and he makes a great statement. And he says in verse 10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain. It wasn't empty. Well, why? He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all. He said, I worked more than all the others. Why? Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. When he saw that God had worked to take away his sin, that God had given him unmerited favor, that God gave him what he did not deserve, that man went about preaching the gospel and he was put to death. He was persecuted. Time has come that when they throw stones, let it be a monument to the God of heaven. It's amazing to me in Acts 4 and Acts 5 when they were persecuted, they left rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer for Christ. I don't think we have that mindset today. And I think we need to start building up our faith, because I'll tell you something. If we don't stand, what are we going to do when the stones are being cast? Because compromise and capitulation is not an option for the child of God. Every stone that's cast at us, instead of looking and saying how sorrowful we feel because somebody hurt us, let it be a monument to the glory of God. They're going to talk bad about you. They're going to threaten you. They're going to say, oh, you're those people that believe in Duncan. I don't know what all they're going to say to you, but I know this much. You stand with the Word of God. And if you're here, I have a question for you. Is your faith growing so that you can stand even when they cast the stone? If you're here and you need to obey the gospel or need to be restored, our prayer is that you'll do so. As together we stand and sing, we call.